Halon më vruatër kam jolë këndal Qire vuren atar një fua Në kalës kja unuje Aqqion dhe jesë qire Esnja në gërë Du kavës kja unujë Pësë
të Hi folks, Graham Sutherland here, Thursday night. A little bit late in getting on tonight, a difficulty connecting. So, yeah, sorry about that. Uber conference is a little bit tricky sometimes. I got onto some weird page I'd never seen before, even though I was connecting up my using my normal method. Anyway, yeah, seems to be on now. Everything seems to be okay. Seems to have balanced itself out. So, yeah, the US has withdrawn from Syria. Or have they? Because they appear to still be protecting an oil field in the northeast of the country. Now, that's strange. Why are they protecting an oil field? What does protection mean? It means further exploitation. So they're still taking oil out of the country. So what sort of withdrawal is that? What are they actually doing? It's very interesting that the oil field is in the same band, the so-called deconfliction zone, right along the border with Turkey. So they've only got, well, they claim they've only got 28 troops left in the country. That's what they're saying. So they've only got 28 troops left guarding this oil installation. I suspect somebody's telling lies. That's what I suspect. Why are they even there? Why the garden and oil installation when the Turkish troops are there, the government troops are there, the Syrian government troops are there, and the Russian troops are there? So why do they need the Americans' garden and oil installation? That's what I'd like to know. I'd love to know why they're doing that. So in the north of the country, it just actually happens to be where the best agricultural land is. The most fertile agricultural land is up in the north. And also where the oil fields are. I think it's really arrogant that the Americans are left guarding this oil installation. Their withdrawal was quite dirty as well. They blew up their main bases. There was one with an airstrip in it. And they totally blew the airstrip up so the Russians couldn't use it. That's what they did. And there was another one they called Tent City. It was just basically a whole lot of tents. Big tents with air conditioning in them and everything else. They left that. They didn't blow that up. But they blew up the main bases with airfields and stuff, which I thought was really dirty. I mean, what was it? You know, what was the point in doing that? They've already decimated the country. I think morally they should really be part of the reconstruction, because they were certainly part of the destruction. I think morally the Americans should go back in there and help to start rebuilding the country. That's what they should do. I was reading a report about the amount of ordnance that they dropped in Syria. It was absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal, hundreds of thousands of bombs and missiles, and now they're just leaving the Russians to tidy up after their mess. Now, what will happen is there's 3.5 million refugees in Turkey, Syrian refugees in Turkey. So now that they've finally had instigated a permanent ceasefire, that 3.5 million refugees will come home, will come back home, and they're from all over, well, basically all over Syria. But they've been in Turkey for, well, they've been in Turkey for years. 3.6 million, actually, to be exact. So all of those families are going to be basically going back home, which is great. It's great for them. But what are they going back home to? That's the question. They're going back home to rubble. Their houses are all bombed apart. The schools and hospitals and everything are just, well, totally in ruins. They're going to have to start again. Estimates around about $50 billion for reconstruction. I'm just wondering if America will put their hands in their pocket. They morally should, because, like I say, they've been instrumental in well, the main part of the destruction. They were just blowing stuff up indiscriminately. So there was apparently there was a prison. They blew up, the Turks blew up a prison. I don't think they meant to blow it up. And a whole load of ISIS fighters escaped. And it was horrendous to see the Turks, rather than recapture them or whatever, they were actually beheading them. Well, they said that the reason they were beheading them was because that's what the ISIS fighters had done to the Syrians. They'd basically cut their heads off. So there was some horrendous... They actually videoed it. It was quite disgusting. It was horrible to see. And cutting people's heads off with big sort of divers type knives. Then running about with their heads. Holding up their heads. But I guess that's just karma coming back for the ISIS fighters, because they did have a habit of beheading people. Now, the interesting thing was, the Americans claimed that they, before this all happened, they claimed that they managed to evacuate all the main ringleaders, the ISIS leaders and everything. They were evacuated to Iraq. So they're actually in Iraqi prisons, apparently. We're talking about between 6,000 and 9,000. That was the numbers given, depending on what report you read. So the leaders anyway are relocated to Iraq. Incidentally, this is a phone-in program. You're welcome to phone in. The numbers are on the main page there. If you want to call in, welcome to call in. It'd be really interesting if we got a call from somebody in the area. I mean, the Syrian area. It'd be fantastic if we could get some calls from that kind of area, because we get so much conflicting reports coming out of the area, contradictory reports coming out of Syria. It'd be really interesting to get some eyewitness accounts, some actual eyewitness accounts. That would be fantastic. So, yeah. So they got the ringleaders. They got the leaders. Whisked away, the Americans. Quite a clever move, really. Quite a clever move. Got them dumped in prisons in Iraq. Now, speaking about Iraq, that's an interesting one. The Iraqi Prime Minister has appealed. He's already made statements to the effect that he wants all the American troops out of Iraq. But he's now appealed to the UN and formally. To get the last of the Americans out of Iraq. Now, they don't want to leave, obviously, and they've got that fortress that they call the embassy, a huge, almost like a city, a huge, what would you call it? They call it an embassy. It's not an embassy. It's obviously, it's basically a city-state. It's a walled city. That's what it is. It's got supermarkets and cinemas and bowling alleys and all sorts of things, pubs and everything in it. And this is supposedly their embassy, because the idea was, the plan was, they were going to attack, or This was under Obama, of course. Don't forget about that. But the plan was they were going to attack Iran from Iraq. That was the original plan. Of course, Donald Trump's put a kibosh on all these plans. So they don't really need this huge fortress, city, embassy thing, whatever you want to call it, in Iraq. They don't need it. It's no longer needed. But there's still American families there living there. So the Iraqi PMs called for them all to get chucked out, basically. So, yeah. That'll be interesting. That'll be really interesting to see what happens. I don't know if you know this or not, but they have they've been embedded there for 11 years. And they've had a long time to build this. And it cost millions. What I'm talking about. It cost absolutely millions. Yeah. I was off to give up smoking. Oh, man. Yeah, I had a bit of a chest cold this last few weeks. I guess it's just the time of the year. So, Iraq, I feel sorry for them because they basically, they had a puppet regime installed. That's what happened. Now, they've been able to have, since that puppet regime was installed, they've been able to have free and fair elections. And the original puppet regime, the original puppet PM, has been replaced by a much more Iraqi-minded individual, an anti-American kind of individual. So, Americans' occupation in Iraq, certainly the days are numbered. There's no reason for them to be there at all. It's no longer unstable. It's totally stabilized. I don't know if you remember or not, but it was terrible for years. There was every day there was some sort of suicide bombing going on. It was basically a Sunni against Shia Islamic war going on, as well as everything else. And they were basically blowing up each other's areas. That's what was happening. And there was a lot of people, thousands and thousands of people killed with IUDs and car bombs and everything in the different areas. And that continued for a long, long time. It just looked like it was utterly hopeless. And what happened was the Americans they were just in a crossfire. So what happened was they all retreated back to their bases. And, they were basically just hiding. They were basically just hiding in their bases. It was too risky to go out. And any time they did go out, they were being shot at or killed. An American killed just last week, in fact, in an IUD in Iraq. So it's not finished. It's still an ongoing situation, but they're not safe to drive around. So the $8 trillion that they spent basically blowing the country up to subdue them has just been an absolute waste of money. It's achieved absolutely nothing. Well, all it's achieved is it's a more dangerous and unstable place than it was when they attacked it in 1992, originally. Iraq won. So-called Iraq One. So it's utterly, I mean, Donald Trump was absolutely right when he said these wars are pointless and endless, because that's absolutely right. These people have been fighting, and particularly the Kurds in Iraq and the Kurds in Syria have been fighting for about 500 or 600 years. To get an independent state, a Kurdistan, where they want it on the north of Syria, going into areas of Turkey. Now, it's interesting because they reckon up to 1 in 6 or 1 in 7 Turks have got Kurdish DNA. It's actually it's an ethnic group within within Turkey, but they're not allowed to speak about it. Is that someone? Is that someone trying to call in?
Have a good day.
Hi. Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm gonna put my phone on silent.
Hi, go ahead. I can hear you. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. It sounded like a caller.
I am, but I'm picking up my son from work. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm so sorry. I'm going to put my phone on mute so I can listen.
No, I mean, it's okay. And that's what we're here for. It is a call-in show. You're not interrupting at all. That's the nature of the show. Just go ahead.
Okay. I'm from Alabama. Just found your channel and from the Marfugel family. And just wanted to call in and listen. See what you had to say.
Okay, sure. Do you have any family or connection to the area?
No, I couldn't. I kind of missed some of it, so I don't know what actually to say. I do have a YouTube channel, though. I'm not like calling to advertise that, but I'm just letting you know.
All right, sure. We're talking about the Turks going into Syria, and the recent U.S. withdrawal from Syria, basically, and the fact that they'd shipped the ISIS fighter leaders, the commandos, they actually shipped them through to Iraq. That was the basis of the show. You're either completely aware of what's going on in the world, or you're completely oblivious to it. And it's interesting, no. if you speak to somebody that's completely not aware of what's going on in the world, to think it, you know, when open them up to the truth, when you give them some truth, they kind of look at you with a blank expression as if you're absolutely nuts and think you're a conspiracy theorist or whatever.
Yep.
It's kind of, it's kind of interesting. And mind you, it's not as bad as it was. I remember about 10 years ago or whatever, anyone who actually spoke the truth, even just as, you know, as short a time as 10 years ago, they were shot down. They were just, like, shot down. People thought they were nuts or whatever because, you know, it's basically because the media brainwashing was so effective.
Yeah, I agree. It was crazy. My dad was part of that.
Yeah.
In the Navy, so, yeah.
In the Navy?
He's okay now, thank God.
In the Navy, right? Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think the days of these big capital ships, you know, the aircraft carriers and destroyers and everything else, the kind of days of them are sort of over because of modern missile technology. They're basically just big sitting ducks.
Yeah,
they really are. There was an American admiral. I can't remember his name. No, sorry, he was retired. A retired American admiral, recently retired, had said that they basically were just big sitting ducks because of the hypersonic missiles that the Russians had developed. It basically made capital ships obsolete.
Do you think that's why Trump tried to befriend Russia?
They've got a funny relationship anyway. They appear to sort of blow hot and cold as far as I can see. Yeah. But I think that was certainly the reason why Trump was, well, not so much Trump, but you know, the American system was really angry about Turkey buying the S-400 system, because the S-400 system basically makes the so-called stealth F-35 obsolete as well. Yeah, because they can, well, the S-400 system can, you know, can basically see them. And, well, more than see them, it can actually read their software of their computer systems before they even fire a missile. Because the S-400 is an interesting system. It's got several missiles at its disposal, depending on the threat, depending on what the threat is. Whether it's an incoming aircraft or a missile or whatever, it can actually, over the horizon, remember, it's got a range of like 1,000 kilometers. It can actually assess, you know, whatever it is, and actually hack into its software, which is absolutely amazing, because it can actually read secret, basically secret data and also flight plans and all sorts of supposedly top secret information before the thing even gets close. It's very advanced, and that's why the Americans were so upset at the Turks getting it, because the Turks realized that this thing was an F-35 beta.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this system. So Turkey's already got it, and the Americans didn't want the Turks being able to hack into the F-35's onboard computer. That's the backstory.
Well, first of all, though, as well, Grant, why would Turkey buy Russia equipment when they're considered a NATO ally?
I know. That's a really good question. It's a really good question, Johnny, but let's face it, Turkey's NATO membership is hanging by a thread. It really is. But yet, it's weird, because just today, Trump said that, they were a special ally and that, you know, a good relationship with Turkey and all this kind of stuff. After it looked like they were about to go to war, you know, potentially. And, Trump was making some really strong statements about crippling their economy and all this kind of stuff with sanctions, and we know that they can be quite crippling. But today he announced he's lifted all the sanctions, and you know, everything was rosy in the garden, and you know, they were backing out of there and all this kind of stuff. But if Turkey did anything else to displease them, they would just impose them again. It's kind of like very controlling, almost. It's pretty arrogant, really, when you think about it. But they met behind closed doors as well, apparently, and they kind of thrashed out a deal as to what they would do with that septic zone, that 20 mile strip along the top, along the border, basically. And they've been given, the Syrian government's been given the job of policing it to keep the Kurds out. But there's a lot of Kurds in Turkey. That's a thing. And they're still at odds. They're still at war, basically, with Turkey, and they have been for hundreds of years. But like I say, the Kurds is basically ethnicity, that's it, within Turkey.
Got it.
And it's part of their, Turkish DNA. There's a whole load of Kurds. They're not allowed to speak about it, though. The Kurds are encouraged not to speak about it.
Oh, yeah. There's two different factions on that. Even the Kurds, they're even divided between the north and the south. So, like, it's very complicated.
That's right. The Kurds in the north, the PKK, they are communists. Are basically, yeah, basically communists. And the ones in the south are they're just,
the YPG.
Well, yeah, that's right, YPG. They're, well, they're just regular sort of non-communists, if you like. But they're not, that's the trouble, you see, they're not united. There's factions of Kurds, groups of Kurds in the whole region, including Iraq. They've been, they're a scattered people. That's what they are. They've been scattered and divided. It's a shame, really. I feel sorry for them because they shed a lot of blood supporting the Americans. I feel, you know, I kind of share the feeling that they've betrayed them somewhat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were fighting with no body armor with American troops while America was suited up. Yeah, we even had some of the footage before I played.
Aye, that's right, Johnny. That's exactly right. And they were quite happy to go out front as well, you know, ahead of the Americans. They were quite happy to do that. And, of course, the Americans just let them, you know. But the truth of the matter is, they're better fighters than the Americans. They're seasoned fighters. They've been at it for a long time.
Oh, and they know the terrain. So it's their land. They understand it.
Yeah, that's right. So they've abandoned their villages in the north. It's kind of sad to see. They've actually just walked out of their houses and, you know, just sort of headed south. So I would assume that Syrian people, including the soldiers, will just move in there. That's what will happen. They're not going to leave.
Sure.
They're not going to leave villages intact. And some of them are intact. They've not been blown to bits like a lot of areas in Syria. Kind of when you see it, your heart bleeds for them because they're just, I mean, there's large areas of the Idlib province and whatnot are just rubble. What are they going back to?
There's nothing to go back to, and it's rubble.
Well, I know they've got the choice of staying in their air-conditioned tents, getting free meals every day in Turkey, or going back to rubble, where you know, there's no services. They don't have any services. There's no electricity or gas or anything.
I see. Yeah.
I think they're going to have to basically, you know, they're going to have to get together and get some sort of package on and go to rebuild the place quick.
Absolutely.
And I think it should be, I think everybody that had a hand in the destruction should have a hand in the reconstruction.
I'm sorry, I'll hold on.
Is she away, Johnny?
Yeah, she said she had to do something, she'll call back.
All right, sure. I was a bit, yeah, I was just saying there, Johnny, I don't know your thoughts on it, but I think that there should be a mandate that everybody that was involved, including the French and the British, in the destruction of Syria should be part of the reconstruction, because we've left a hell of a mess. We didn't achieve our objectives. It was just a complete disaster. We spent millions, Britain alone spent millions, billions in fact, trying to aid the Americans to destabilize the place and get Assad out, and it didn't work. We were completely unsuccessful yet again, but in the process we blew up a lot of their infrastructure. We were targeting, it was so wrong, because we were targeting hydroelectric stations and oil refineries and schools and hospitals and things like that, which is just like, that's not proper warfare, you know. We were obviously trying intentionally to depopulate the country.
We were never supposed to win the war. It was an ongoing war. It was supposed to be forever, almost, of sorts. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But I mean, the fact that they were blowing up schools and hospitals and hydroelectric power stations and this kind of thing is a sure sign that they're basically just trying to depopulate the area rather than kill the people. They're trying to depopulate it, which would go along with your greater Israel project theory, you know, that the Israelis were behind it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And a lot of these wars are started by Zionist bankers, so this is tying into a lot of stuff, most definitely. It's unfortunate that we wasted some $8 trillion of American money to have these ongoing wars, and it's been over two decades. Prior to that, it was Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and then if we're not even talking about the Cold War, so America's been in the Middle East forever, and it's very interesting, most definitely.
I know, but it's very costly as well, Johnny. I mean, America's national debt's up at $23 trillion now, and $8 trillion of that was just basically blowing stuff up in Syria and Iraq, and, you know, mass murdering a lot of people. Let's not forget, you know, that's like 500,000 plus people died there for basically now. We can see it clearly in retrospect for absolutely no reason. It's disgusting.
Well, I think that's exactly why a lot of people are happy that supposedly Trump is going to be pulling out here shortly. Obviously, time will tell. We'll see how that goes. But even America's all for it. A majority of America, no matter what side you align with, they say, let's get the hell out of here. You know, you could be a Democrat even for that. Republican, and they say, yeah, let's all get out of here. It's been a war with their family, their wives, their daughters, their children are over there serving endless wars. For banking systems, really. That's all it is. And I think people are waking up to that. And we need to teach them some of that history behind that. And I think that's why people are starting to be intrigued a little bit more.
Yes, I think the wakening up process has even got into the military, Johnny. I've seen some U.S. soldiers basically handing up, doing selfies with posters saying, you know, I'm through. Fighting for bankers in foreign countries.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
So yeah, the wakening up process is. I mean, everybody's got. I mean, these soldiers have all got mobile phones. You got mobile phones. You're online. If you're online, you're listening to shows like this, and looking at YouTube videos and everything else showing. You know, basically what the deal is. They can't. They used to lie to the soldiers. Basically, they used to brainwash them and lie to them. And
they told it underneath it being patriotic. 9/11 was the big enchilada on some of that. I think we all agree upon that. They sold it as a patriotism thing. Ah, these people hurt America. It's patriotic. Now we're going to go back into the Middle East and start these wars all over again. And people are now waking up. Two decades later to say, hey, what the hell is going on? We haven't done anything. People have been dying all across the world on both sides. And what's the end all agenda? Nothing. Nobody has sight on what's going to happen next. And their family men or women are across seas for months, years at a time. While they're raising the kids by themselves, it sounded like this woman that called in, I didn't catch her name. She said her husband was from the Navy. I think she said he just got back. But even then, how long was her husband gone? Or is he still gone? And she's a single mother, it sounds like, raising a kid or two by themselves. And it's very hard because we already understand the agenda. It's to divide the family. We see it on the social feminism movement where women are wanting to be self-productive. But that's destroying the family as well. And then the man or the mother is across fighting these wars, endless wars for the bankers. And people are starting to wake up. I really do believe it. And we just got to keep hammering away.
Yeah. The internet certainly changed everything, Johnny, because this is the age of information. And everybody's just plugging in now. Mainstream media has never been more discredited and disrespected than it is now. You know, all your mainstream channels, I mean, people now realize all your mainstream channels is run by the same cabal, the same Masonic cabal, and it's funny now when you switch on some of these, you know, MSBN or whatever you call it, and CNN and everything. They're just talking. They're all using the same scripts. They're all saying exactly the same thing, and the narrative is, it's deception. They're still trying to sway public opinion, but the public know what's going on now. It's almost like a comedy show. Mainstream news has become like a comedy show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially when they turn it on every day and it's the same thing over and over and over again. And they've heard it already for the last decade. They're like, oh, my God, this is getting ridiculous. So they are turning to alternative media, us independent journalists. That's very good on our behalf because we've been trying to say the truth for a long time. And people are starting to get away from the mainstream media, quote MSN, mainstream news.
Yeah, that's right. I've seen a thing. I've seen a thing online. It was basically, it was the viewer figures, for all the main stations, the six main stations in the US, and also the BBC in the UK. And they've never, ever had such, drastically lower listeners than ever they had. People are just, they know they're being lied to. So what's the point? What's the point in even turning on the news? We don't want mind control. We want the truth.
Yes, they've become deaf tone towards the agenda, the mainstream media lies, most definitely.
Yeah, they're losing
thing.
Support.
It's coming around.
Yeah, they're totally losing support, but more than losing support, they've totally lost all credibility. They really have. I mean, the when I said the scripts are all the same, I mean exactly the same. The scripts are identical. They're using exactly the same words and exactly the same expressions, which is, clearly, these are meant to be independent news companies, and they're all reading exactly the same scripts. It's unbelievable that they've managed to get away with it for this long. You know, it's obvious that they're all being controlled from a single entity, a single kind of Masonic leadership position, and it's getting so transparent what they're doing. It's so transparent now. It's just it's almost like it's collapsing. It's actually imploding. They've got no credibility whatsoever. It's just, I think fast forward 5 years, I think you'll see most of these mainstream news channels just basically, shutting their doors because they've got nothing to offer. You know, if we want to hear comedy, we can listen to comedy. We don't need to go on the news for it.
Exactly. No, it's interesting because even the conservative side, and I'm not trying to get too political in this, but even people used to say, well, Fox is different than CNN or MSNBC. It was. Until just recently, in the last even 4 months, Fox News is exactly like CNN almost. They're still in the same rhetoric. I find it very interesting that Disney finally sold out their contract and bought Fox News for $56 billion. They finally paid it off. And Fox News now is still in the same rhetoric as the mainstream media. It's all here. It's all there.
When did it happen, Johnny? I never caught that.
Well, it was a 2-year contract, and Disney was paying Fox News a total of $56 billion in assets, and then they just paid them off about 6 months ago. It was kind of a big thing in the American media. I covered myself to say, wow, now Disney owns Fox News. And we all know about how bad Disney is, and Disney owns a lot of corporations already. Entities already. So, the mainstream media has only been controlled by 6 or 7 entities, and now we got Disney owning Fox, and we're hearing the same thing. I don't even listen to the mainstream media. I would pick up on CNN, and I would pick up a little bit here on Fox, and I would connect the pieces for the audience. Now I don't even listen to Fox. I don't even listen to anything. It's all the same rhetoric. You got to read in between the lines now, and people are starting to read in between the lines. And it looks like people are starting to look up to alternative media, that direction. So it sounds to us we have to do just for these people.
Aye, that's right, Johnny. That's weird. That's hard to get your head around because Disney is very much part of the beast system. We know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Disney. I think they're like the richest company in the world, if I'm not mistaken, even bigger than Microsoft. They are a big company to deal with. They know their numbers on paper. Supposedly, they even got caught a month ago lying about their numbers on paper when they bought Fox. So how much control does they have, When you have so much money and so much assets, who's going to tell you, even the banking system, You know, when they do assessments on how much your state is worth, it's interesting because these people have so much money, it's infinite to a sort. How can you count $56 billion? How can you count that as a banking system, even with computer systems nowadays? And they're lying on paper. And we've known this for a long time. Obviously, that was a big part of the housing market in 2008, the bubble crash in the housing market. They were just lying about numbers. Nobody was checking up on them because the numbers are so big. And then, boom, America has a crash stock market bubble housing in 2008. So we're being manipulated even on a currency level. That's how bad it gets.
Yeah. Speaking about Fox, Johnny, one of the reporters, he's one of the key anchors, totally cracked up recently and basically just threw down his script. He threw his papers down on the table and he just went on this amazing, absolutely amazing rant about, you know, how all the news channels have been hijacked and everything had been hijacked and he was sick telling lies, basically. That's what he was saying. It was unbelievable. And I was surprised to let it roll, but they just let it roll and he just basically went on to say that, you know, the lies he was telling was to help the military industrial complex and the foreign adventurers and everything. He just totally blasted it. It was brilliant. I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow, am I actually even saying this? And he just let it roll. I was really surprised at that. And I was also really surprised at the fact that there was no comment about it. You know, nobody kind of said, wow, that was something else. You know, that was a break from the normal script or whatever. But I was thinking to myself, he'd be lucky if he still got a job after this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, these wars have been fought over these big banking systems as well as the military complex. Raytheon, Lockheed Martin in particular, are the big ones. And it's interesting because you and I were covering this last Saturday about how these politicians have their stocks in Lockheed Martin, Raytheon. And these are the companies that are selling the technology and or having the wars across the seas in the Middle East. And yep. They're putting our men and women in harm's way to fill their own pockets. This is big stuff that people are waking up to. People are understanding their livelihood, their families being sold to these corporations, these bankers. And it's surreal that we're coming to this point now. It's a good thing, though, but let's see if we wake up everybody in the time zone, you know, because we're racing against the clock still.
Yeah, that's right. That's interesting, Johnny. You just reminded me of something. Our former Prime Minister, Theresa May, her husband, who you never heard much about, he's quite shy as regards the media and everything. He had shares in Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, and also some other military kind of based company. So that's what these politicians and this elitists, that's what they invest in. Because they know that we're going to be at war. These wars are never meant to be won. They're just meant to be sustained so they can sell more and more weapons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nancy Pelosi, even. She's the House Speaker of the Democrats. Mitt Romney, he's a Republican. He tried to run against Obama. They all have stocks in Lockheed Martin, Raytheon. And it's on public record, too. And even John McCain, the biggest warmonger in America before he died out of the blue from total brain cancer, and he only lived for like a month after that, which I don't know if that story is even true within itself. But he had some of the biggest stocks at Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, John McCain. And we all know about John McCain's history and his father and how they were selling war, even since Vietnam, his father. And it's just interesting because why are these politicians allowed to have interest and war and these entities? I think that should be a law on your side, the EU, UK, and America side, that if you're a politician, you cannot invest in war, because now you're compromised. You're really compromised because yep. Now you have an agenda to fill your pocket.
Yes.
And if we put these people put their feet to the fire on this, people will start waking up real quick, and people are going to be out in the outrage. But we have to make that apparent to the people.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I couldn't agree with you more. And if you look into them, and as you say, it's public information. If you look into this, you'll find that they've all got shares in it. You know, so they're all obviously, you know, they're all obviously part of this conspiracy to invest in war and then basically conduct war. That's clearly what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Total compromise. Exactly.
It really is, yeah. Yeah, and if you've got shares... Is that someone trying to call?
No, it was me from earlier.
Oh, hi. You
I
still
said... I didn't give you my name. I'm so sorry. My name is Lori Lowe, #9. So you can call me Lori.
Lori. Pleasure.
Lori.
Yes.
Right, okay, cool. Hi, Lori. You still sitting in your car in a lay-by?
Nope, I'm in my house. I'm sitting with my kittens.
You're sitting with your kittens?
Yes. I rescued like 6 kittens off the side of the road, so I'm raising them now.
You rescued them?
Yeah, my son said, now you're going to be the crazy cat lady.
Wow.
Lori, were you catching some of what we were saying earlier? I do believe you mentioned that your husband was in the Navy or he came back from tour.
No, that was my father.
Your father, okay. What do you think about all these wars when it came to these banking wars?
What does he think about them? That's more to the point.
Yeah, that's a good question.
He doesn't even want to go back there because he had such bad PTSD. So he's gotten away from all that now. So he doesn't even talk about it anymore. But he does help the Disabled Veterans of America in Florida now. So he's at least getting part of it.
He's what? I'm sorry?
He's partly back into it now. At least he's helping people now. He wasn't able to before.
I think there's a feeling, especially in the military, that what they're doing is just a waste of time. You know, it's pointless.
Oh, no, I agree.
Yeah, it really is. I was watching some videos of it was basically just soldiers having a discussion, and they were actually, well, they were on location, you know, they were in Iraq, sitting in a cafe, just having a casual conversation, you know, between themselves, and they were all of the same mind, and they were all of the same mind. It was like, what the hell are we even doing here? And who are we really working for? You know, they were all clued up. They were all like, it's almost like they were actually wakening up on the spot. It was quite beautiful, really.
Oh, wow. You actually got to see an aha moment? I love that.
Yeah, so do I. It's becoming widespread. As I say, everybody's plugged in now. It's not like you can't brainwash people the same way as you once could, you know, because everybody's got devices. We've all got devices, and everybody can just, you can find anything within minutes.
You could be listening to it in your car like she was. You could just be in your phone in your car. Tuning in,
right?
You know, through your phone, your device, and then you have Bluetooth, and you can call in instantly. People used to never have that, especially with the open source media that we are. It's an interesting time to say.
It really is.
We have more instruments that we can plug in with. I've been away since 2014, trying to wake my parents up, but then my dad started going through PTSD and knocked everybody back except for me. So I'm like, okay, now everybody's starting to wake up slowly now that I have a YouTube channel and they're seeing what I see, you know?
Yeah.
And I will tell them about your call-in show. They'll probably call in, just letting you know. His name's Butch. I'm a new member. I've been only in the Marfugel for 6 months,
so I'm not really that active yet, but I'm looking for people in my area to be active with, and I found someone in Dothan, but they work so much, we can't hardly get together, so I'm just looking for more people to hang out with. Dothan, Alabama, in Alabama, period.
Well, Lillian, may I ask, how did you find us? How did you find Revision or Liberty Light News?
Someone called into Marfugel News this afternoon when he had his first day show in a long time and gave us the website, so that's what I did. And then I clicked on the bell icon. If you don't, you don't get any content, so I did that, and now here I am.
Well, great. We'd love to hear from you more, as well as the rest of the Marfugel family, so please send them our way. We do appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. I will give y'all props in any of my videos, so.
There you go. God bless you. Thank you.
That'll help. I only have 29 subscribers, but at least they'll get to 29 people. And then they'll get shared, you know?
Well, that's what's happening, you know. That 29's probably in touch with another 29 individually, you know. It's not long before you're reaching thousands of people through other people. That's how it's happening.
Yep. That's why I don't get discouraged when I only see 29 still for a month. It's cool. It was 10 for a month, you know. So I certainly knew, so... Very, very new.
Yeah, you've just got to keep going. It's not going to go down. It's only going to go up.
Absolutely.
Persistence is key. I've been saying that the last week.
That's it. And content. You just got to keep putting out videos and pray it gets out to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But I listened to some of my shows from 2 or 3 years ago. I think, you know, I almost cringe. I think, gosh. I was, you know, I was so green and just unpolished, you would say. But it doesn't matter. I was still reaching people.
Now.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, you know, because people respond to the rawness of it, to the realness of it, and just to the honesty of it. People respond to that. So, yeah, you know, if you're reaching people, you're reaching people. It doesn't really matter how polished you are.
Oh, I found that out. That's so true. That's why I'm still going.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's, you know, that's the cool thing about it. You know, you switch on the alternative media and you've got a guy just sitting, you know, in his tartan shirt. You know, drinking beer, smoking a cigarette or whatever, just presenting to you the truth. And I think people would rather have that than some idiot in a collar and tie reading off a script.
Amen
to that. Yeah, exactly. Well said, Graham. Yeah. That's kind of what we do sometimes. Exactly.
Yeah, because that's exactly what's happening. It's been proven time and time and time again. They're all just reading off the same script.
Oh, yeah, they're being deprogrammed.
And
yes.
President Trump is a wild hare because he'll go off script.
Well, I think that's sometimes why the American people enjoy that to a certain extent, because he is somewhat honest on a certain extent on that, that it's not the same politician with the blue-collar tie just saying the same rhetoric that the mainstream media throws out.
That's true.
Yeah. Listen, I'm gonna call a 5-minute break and go and get a coffee. If that's okay.
Okay.
It should have been at the top of the hour, but we started a bit late, so we can have the break a bit late. Just 5 minutes. Just get a hot beverage.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Eru anna shek ars tu agental halon mo vruater kam yon.
Yeah, we're speaking about the American troops withdrawn from northern Syria and also the truce, the ceasefire, which they said is going to be permanent, and the fact that the Syrians are now going to be policing the north, and the fact that the ISIS fighters were, the leaders rather, were captured by the Americans and taken to secure prisons in Iraq. That's really what we're speaking about.
Those are the ISIS fighters, right? Just for the audience to elaborate?
Yes, yes. I'm just a bit concerned it's going to leave a bit of a power vacuum, you know, in the north. It's going to be, okay, it's going to be kind of, yeah, it's going to be kind of strange.
Who is getting imprisoned?
the ISIS fighters, the Americans, took the main ringleaders of the caliphate, and they basically shipped them over. Yeah, they shipped them over to, and the most dangerous ones, not just the leaders, but the most dangerous ones who were guilty of murder and whatnot, they took them out before the Turks invaded. They took them out and shipped them. Yeah, they shipped them to secure locations in Iraq, which I think was quite clever. So they'd obviously, the Americans had obviously spoken. Trump had obviously spoken to Erdogan before this all happened.
Wow, that was awesome. Okay, that I can rest easy now. I thought they were out and about and trying to come get us again.
No, that was just scaremongering by the mainstream media.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
my heart can rest.
Well, you know, if they say that everything's calm and there's no, you know, there's no threat and there's no need to fear or whatever, it doesn't really, it's not very good for ratings.
You know what it says in the Bible, whenever they say it's calm and okay and all fine here, he says, beware, they will come with force.
Yeah, aye, that's right. So yeah, that's basically what they're doing. They're just trying to, they're just, fear is good for ratings, basically.
Right, like, look over here, here I come, over here.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe at the same time, though, we have to play devil's advocate. I don't believe the war on terrorism, quote unquote, will ever be ended. It'll always still be there.
Yeah, I agree.
So just because it's calm now.
You wonder, you know, I mean, ISIS was, and ISIL, whatever you want to call them, was totally obliterated in Syria. Totally obliterated. I mean, they were being attacked from all sides. So now they're gone. I mean, like, I really don't think they're going to start up a regroup within Iraq, which has been suggested. I can't see it happening. What's their purpose? You know, what do they hope to achieve? Their numbers have been cut drastically to the point they're almost non-existent. So there's no point in them. You know, they're finished, really.
Oh, that's good. I hope so. I pray so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, you've got to remember the government forces in both Syria and Iraq are against them. The Kurds are against them. The Russians and Hezbollah are against them. They've no real friends there.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I can understand that.
I just think it was a bit creepy that they were using basically mostly U.S. arms, and they kept being filmed with U.S. equipment. And then turning around and saying, oh, well, it was obviously captured equipment. But, I mean, we've since realized it's a bit more organized than that. There was all those Toyota trucks that you see driving about with the big machine guns on the back. Someone found the invoice for those. Yeah, somebody actually found, yes, and it came out of America. They were bought in America for ISIS. Hundreds of, I think it was 1,100. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sure it was 1,100 Toyota trucks they bought the American War Department for ISIS. 1,100. That's a lot of trucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then they modified some of them. They had, it was amazing, but I was watching basically they'd captured all of their hardware, you know, when they chased them out of the Idlib province, they'd captured their hardware, and they'd actually made improvised tanks by welding steel plates all around some of these Toyota trucks, and basically just making battering rams and stuff so they could, well, they were loading them with explosives as well, so they could basically just, you know, drive them into compounds and stuff, or drive them through walls, and then just, you know, cause a huge explosion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. You know, they're still practicing, the military is still practicing for the night stuff that's going on, where they're shutting off the power and redoing the power just in case anything goes down during the power outages, so they can be on top of things here in the United States anyway.
I heard about that, yes. I heard about that, and they were doing massive drills in California, I believe.
Yes. Oh, on Marfugel, they said something about finding some kids. Somebody called in and said something about that, like another child ring. They rescued a bunch of people, or a bunch of kids, in California over the outages.
Yes. Was that were they in a shipping container?
No, I don't know. I didn't hear what they were in. I just heard that they rescued them. Like in a tunnel or something, I heard. But of course, it's hearsay because I didn't see it. But I'm just saying. I heard it from Mark and Gates, so.
Okay. And well, no, I had a report. I had a report where they'd found 29 children. I think that was a number, 29 children in a shipping container, getting ready to be basically sold, I guess, child trafficked or whatever.
Wow. On Marfugel, there was a freezer container with a driver, and they found 39 people total, children, women, children, men, and elderly, all in a shipping container.
Wow.
Freezer container. Truck. That's it. The freezer truck.
Right. Wow.
Wild.
Do you mean alive or dead?
Dead. There was no air getting in. They died.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
For their organs.
Yes.
That's what I'm assuming.
That was in the UK.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's right.
Okay. Right.
That's right. That was in the UK, that's right. I heard about that one as well. The driver was an Irishman. He was arrested for, murder, basically.
Yeah. He's going down for whoever he was driving for. He's not talking.
Yeah, I know. This time of year as well, just coming up to Halloween, there's an absolute epidemic of children go missing.
Oh, yeah, every year. I look at my post office, we got a missing children's folder, or not folder, clipboard, and every year after Halloween, it fills up, and then they start finding other children. And, you know, the children that they've had from the year before. So I'm like, are they not paying attention on when this is happening and what? I can see it. It's crazy. But nobody listens to me because I have a brain tumor, so. I'm just a crazy person right now with a brain tumor. That's what I feel like anyway when people don't listen to me. What I see stuff going on.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of people saying exactly the same thing without brain tumors. That's the thing.
Yes, Laura, we do cover that. But tonight we're indulging on the Middle East and Syria. But yes, we will have other shows other than this. We'll be covering some of that. We did cover it last Saturday.
I'm sorry.
No, you're more than welcome. No, we appreciate you contributing. Yeah,
all these things are connected anyway. If you join the dots, they're all connected.
That was my point right there. Everything is connected.
Yeah. It absolutely is. The the Clinton Foundation is a child trafficking organization. That's what it is, you know, pretending to be an aid agency. It started in Haiti, of course. And thousands of children went missing out of there. And they were supposedly orphans. And they were shipped abroad. They shipped them all abroad. A lot of them came to the U.S. And they were actually fostered out. They fostered them out to foster families. And then later on, their parents were actually looking for them. They weren't orphans at all. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's right. They weren't orphans at all. They'd just been separated from their parents due to the, you know, the big hurricane. Basically, you know, it totally decimated everything. And there was a lot of children separated from their parents, and they were basically snatched.
Wow. My God. You know they had a TV show about something similar to that.
Doesn't this go back to Hezbollah, you said? What was that, Graham, you mentioned on Saturday? Monarch. Monarch. What was that?
Monarch Mind Control.
No. Well, that too, but it was something else that you had brought up on Saturday, how it ties into the Middle East and Turkey. It was, what's that?
Oh, Graham, group? I believe he's referring to Moloch.
Moloch, there you go. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate that.
Oh, the Moloch cult, yeah.
Yeah, that's... And the Middle East and Turkey and the Middle East and all this. This is big money. This is big stuff. This ties into the Middle East wars, even.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what they do. Yeah, they thrive on confusion. The love war zones. The love war zones, because they can go in there. And, of course, what do you get in a war zone? You get loads of orphans, don't you? Of course you do. And they basically go in and they just snatch kids. The UN are involved. UNICEF are even involved in child snatching. And most of these kids don't have parents. So they don't have anyone to speak up for them. So they're basically just trafficked. And they've got no idea where they end up. They go far and wide. But they buy, there's a market for children. There's a big market for children, particularly in places like Saudi Arabia. They just buy them. They see them as a commodity. They're bought and sold there in markets, just like cattle.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And then we have American entities.
Well, some of them are orphans. Well, they're all officially orphans. But in the case of Haiti, they found out that, they actually had parents that were just separated from them. And they'd already, this is months later, but they'd already been trafficked abroad. It's horrendous what they're doing.
Oh, my God.
The thing is, what we're speaking about, I mean, these people are, these Moloch cultist people are completely soulless. They don't have, like, empathy and, you know, natural sympathy or anything like that. They're basically soulless.
Lacking that.
Absolutely. You'd have to be involved in, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, they're actually being processed. They process them and they take out their internal organs and sell their internal organs. That's a known fact. You can actually go on a dark web and you can buy kidneys, livers, whatever you want on a dark web.
Wow.
How much does Syria and Turkey tie into this Moloch and this distribution of children? Isn't that part of the war program as well? Is that why a lot of people are upset, Graham? I believe so. I think it's just bigger than military arms. It's obviously resources.
Yes, it is, Johnny. And they've got something to do with the... I think they've got a lot to do with the White Helmets as well. The White Helmets is a fraudulent organization pretending to be... Yes, pretending to be human rights and, well, pretending to be...
human rights activists.
And they've been caught out. They've been caught out with Oh, well, all sorts of things. Making fake videos. For a start, that's one thing to do. They make fake videos.
Syria with the phosphorus gas in 2014 under the Barack Obama administration. Yeah.
Yes.
This goes back.
Yeah, so they're obviously part of it. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they're involved in the snatching of the kids.
With the United Nations are propagandizing these wars, would you agree?
Isn't
that exactly what we're seeing? And the white helmets are just as complicit. They are the front people for this.
Oh, definitely. And they've been caught out time and time again, Johnny, telling lies. Basically.
Well, that's what the United Nations is there for. But I agree. Every country needs to get the hell out of the United Nations. I've been saying that forever. Get the hell out of the United Nations.
It's definitely well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The power of one is going everywhere. At the library, they have the power of one. At the Dollar General, they had a meeting of the power of one. It's starting to come here in the United States and everywhere.
What is
I've heard about, yeah. I've heard what about that. What exactly is it?
It's where everybody, the hive mind, I think one of y'all mentioned that earlier, the hive mind, where they're trying to get everybody to think as one.
Ah.
It's insane.
Yeah, I know what you mean now. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I had heard about it. I've not looked into that.
Do what?
I'd heard the buzzword, but I wasn't sure what it was about.
Oh.
But that white helmets, they are. I'm surprised they're still on the go, because they've been really seriously discredited time and time again. They were involved in that fake gassing as well. They were very much in the forefront of that fake gassing. They made a video of kids that were supposedly gassed by Syrian government troops. And
Syrian gas.
Yeah, they later found out there was actually no trace of gas. There was no evidence of gas at all. And yet they'd made this video of kids getting rushed into some kind of hospital and getting, you know, water poured over their heads and all this kind of stuff. And the whole thing fell apart when it became apparent that the whole thing was staged. It was just fake. The whole thing was fake.
So that's like the propagandized the wars. That was the propagandized the wars in Syria. That's exactly what it was. And people, through the battle assessment report to the United States, said, no, that's not what happened. We have no proof of the Syrian gas in Syria. But that was the propagandized to still stay in Syria, only to put a presence within Syria.
It was on video. That's the proof.
I know. And, you know, there's no reference to it now. There's no, you know, they never speak about it now. But the reason is because they were basically embarrassed. They were totally embarrassed by the whole thing. It just showed them up to be the frauds that they are.
Yeah. They caught one.
Graham, would you say, Graham, that we're dealing with a higher entity than this? Even EU, UK, America? Even some of these prime ministers don't have control. There's another entity, and they use the United Nations or these people that control the United Nations to further their agenda?
Oh, yes. I agree.
Yes, definitely. It's an international cabal, Masonic-based, that is really controlling stuff. It's became obvious. It's cultists that's doing it.
Oh, speaking of the Masonic, okay, the their, I guess, crest, it was on the back of a truck that it was a Mason. I was like, really? You're advertising this?
Yeah, they do that in America, I've noticed.
Yeah. I just saw it here in Alabama.
Yeah, I know, but listen.
Wow.
I know, but listen, in fairness to them, the lower level Masons are very much just involved in charity work and PR stuff and everything, and just basically trying to raise the credibility of the organization. It's only when you get deeper into it and the, you know, the move further up, it becomes apparent that they're involved in some really dodgy stuff.
Yeah. There was somebody had an argument. Oh, they know. I'm like, I don't think so. If they knew, I doubt they'd be there.
Yeah, that's right.
Some other form. Mm-hmm.
Well, the join, you know, when you join up, you basically, you join up on a promise that you can be, you know, kind of like looked after, you can get promotion at work, you can get off with stuff in court and whatnot, and, you know, you're part of a brotherhood, a kind of gang or whatever, and that's all they know. They don't know anything else other than that, and you know, and they join up, quite naive, so... Well, yeah, so at the lower level, you can have people thinking it's some kind of religious organization or whatever, you know, they don't know. And the truth is only revealed to them, you know, over years, very slowly, gradually.
Gotcha. And then they don't even see it, or they overlook it to get to where they want it to be.
Well, they go through these blood-curdling, blood oaths, you know, as they progress into it, and they're pretty much told they can't leave. You just can't leave. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave, basically.
So you can leave, but we'll contact you when we need to, type thing.
Yeah. Yes. Gotcha. Well, once you've went through some of these rituals, you're kind of like... you're kind of sold out, you know. You can physically leave, but you can't spiritually leave.
Right. That, yeah. That's what I was saying. In
that's
my
how
head.
It works. Yeah.
How to get out.
Yeah, that's how it works. I was speaking to a, it's interesting, I was speaking to a woman just the other day, a local woman I didn't know. She said her husband, is or well, he was a Mason, but he'd become kind of disabled, and you know, he'd stopped going along to the Masonic Lodge because he was he'd become disabled and stuff, and he was quite old. But I said to her, did you ever ask him about the Masons? And she said, yes, I did. She said, I asked him a number of times, and all he said was, go to the library. There's good books on it. That was his wife. What? Yeah. Imagine.
He said, go look it up?
Yeah, go to the library. There's books about it. That's what he said to his own wife.
Wow. So he wasn't about to talk money out. Not even to his wife.
Wow. Are they using the Middle Easterners to propagandize this when it comes to the children? ISIS, ISIL? And some of this in Syria and Turkey within the rest of the Middle East, Graham. How deep does that tie in, would you say?
Well,
I know
they've
talked about it a few times.
Yeah, they've got... the thing is, Johnny, right, we know there's children being trafficked, right? We've covered this. They've been caught out at it again and again and again. But the thing is, there's only a certain amount of demand for children. And I think because... You know, we've had...
Or supply. Or
yes.
Supply.
So we had Haiti, and then we had the war in Iraq and Syria and everything. So I would guess that there's more than enough children there to satisfy their, you know, demand. Yeah. The market... No matter how bad it is, it's obviously going to reach a point where it's saturated. And I think that's what we're seeing now. You know, they don't really need to be there anymore. They don't need to, you know, the demand has been satisfied for the time being of children.
Right. Now that
those children become adults,
I think.
Well, they've got other ways of getting children, remember, as well. They basically have breeders, or women that have babies that are never registered. That's something else that they do. So that's another source of, humans, basically.
They do it everywhere. They make a crisis. That's what they do in the Middle East. That's what they do here on our southern border. They make a crisis and they bring these children over. Or they use these entities such as CPS to further that for their own self-gratification.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's certainly a market. There's certainly a big market for children. It sounds mad even saying it, you know. It sounds insane just saying it. But we are dealing with heavy duty occultists, and they are insane. They're nuts.
Right.
Just
I feel American. Like every time I talk about it, but you know what? If it's not spoke, then they will never get dealt with.
No, that's right. Those children came forward as well. They're coming out of the shadows, you know, saying that they'd somehow managed to escape their evil clutches and stuff. So there's even some survivors. We've got some survivors now speaking out against, eyewitnesses speaking out against them. So it's no longer seen as a, you know, some kind of conspiracy. They know what's going on, you know, from every level.
Exactly. Like I say, it's not a conspiracy when you can prove it.
No, that's right. That's what I'm saying. There's eyewitnesses. Some of these children were even, abused, or, well, sexually abused or physically abused or whatever. And they've come forward and said, you know, well, we want to try and help our friends. You know, we've escaped. We want to try and help our friends who are, you know, meanwhile being trafficked across, the Middle East to God knows where, to God knows what, you know, what will happen.
Well, how ironic is it, though, Graham, that the Middle East is not taboo to have intercourse with children as young as 9?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of the whole war as well in the Middle East that this is propagating into? Of course, in America, it's taboo. In certain European countries, most of the European countries, I believe, it's taboo. But
yeah,
in the Middle East, it's all free-for-all. And this is part of what's feeding the wars, I believe. Some of this, especially the military equipment. You're getting equipment from Russia. You're getting equipment from America. Oh, it's a battle. It's a never-ongoing battle of the Middle East between these countries, between these entities. And at the back burner, they're selling little children, really. They're selling arms for pennies on the dollars for children, for gas even, for resources. And I don't know how deep this ties into, because I know you covered this in great detail. When it comes to the banking system, isn't the banking system, the Zionists, really pushing this agenda?
Well, they're behind it, Johnny, yeah. They're behind it because it's all about money. And there's a lot of money in children. And
children are control, right? Money are control, really?
Yes, but they're worth, sadly, they're worth more dead than they are alive, because it's basically spare parts that... That's what they're doing. It's like breaking up a car and selling, the spare parts. That's what they're doing. They're just selling all their internal organs on the market, on the open market. That's what they're doing. And they're stealing to order.
That's why my kids are scared to be organ donors on the license here.
Well, I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Aye, that's right.
Horrible story. Yeah.
Yeah, there's loads of stories about that going on. Palestine as well. Some of the kids that's been killed there. When the parents went to, bury the, recover the body and bury the child, they found that the internal organs had already been harvested. Against our will, obviously. It's shocking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
this
what they're
doing.
This
is what the mainstream media won't tell you, folks. This is exactly what the mainstream media won't tell you.
Oh, they'll never tell you.
That's why I get my news from other sources, amen.
They'll never tell you, and I'll tell you something else. They'll never tell you the fact that there's 800,000 children a year, 800,000, go missing in the U.S.
FBI statistics. That was just last year, yeah.
Yes, that's right. And there's quite a high concentration of that number centered around Washington. Now, that speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
It really does.
Well, Washington is the war machine. We have to understand. Even though I'm a constitutionalist, I understand that we shouldn't be imperialistic when it comes to the Middle East. But Washington, D.C. is the war machine.
Yeah.
And we pay a lot of the bills. We even pay the United Nations bills. We pay NATO's bills. Europe, UK, EU, we pay those bills to propagate the wars within Syria, within Turkey, within Afghanistan, Iran. And they're not only selling little children, they're selling arms to propagate the wars. Well, we got ISIS now, and ISIS is now attacking in Syria or whatnot, Turkey, and we have to be American, and we have to send our men and women, NATO, and the United States Army to go defend this. And it's a self-perpetuated, systematically divided war. And when people wake up and realize this, we could go to the next chapter. We could understand the agenda. But if we don't wake people up to that, then we're paddling in the same pond. It's a horrible thing, but people need to realize this.
Yeah.
We're going around in circles. If nobody wakes up, that needs to be woke up.
I'm surprised there's not more families coming forward and saying our child disappeared and, or, you know, it's never been recovered. I'm surprised. I mean, we're talking 800,000 a year.
They're either scared or they've been paid off. And my child is not worth any amount of money to me for that, for anything, period.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It must be something like that, because 800,000 is a big number. It really is a big number.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the United States. Imagine how many are going missing globally.
I know.
Times that by 10, folks. That's how bad it is.
Oh, my God.
Well, I've heard in the UK, I've heard two numbers, actually. I've heard it's 50,000 and I've heard it's 60,000. Children go missing, but we calculate it a different way from what they do in the States. I think that 800,000 in the States, I think that includes children that's later, you know, found or later recovered, whereas the numbers in the UK are, you know, well, never recovered.
Oh yeah. The UK's, I believe, is even worse than the United States. I truly believe that.
There's a lot of children go missing in London, Johnny. And it's interesting because London, Washington, and the Vatican is where that's three city-states where the peace system's centered.
Well, why is everybody such an uproar, even NATO, when it comes to us pulling out of Syria? Let's just say this does happen. Obviously, time will tell here shortly. Donald Trump may go back into, I'm not a Trump supporter, tutor like that. I believe in America. But at the same time, let's just say we do pull out of Syria, and we're already getting flack through congressmen and women in the United States. We're already getting flack from NATO. Why may that be, Graham? What is going on with that?
They're making too much money. They don't want Trump to pull people out. They're making too much money.
Well, the left, look at the state of the left in America. It's unbelievable. They are going absolutely berserk. They've spent millions trying to, you know, just make up bullshit about the Russian collusion thing. And that totally collapsed after spending all that money on all that nonsense. And, you know, it makes me, it, you know, it, well, it's unbelievable. The they're not doing their jobs. They're not actually being politicians. All they're doing, they're not, you know, they're not running anything apart from campaigns to get rid of Trump. It's obsessional.
They're front runners for their special interests. Nancy Pelosi, all these individuals. And then, of course, you guys have them over there in the UK. You guys are about to deal with Brexit here in the next, what, 4 or 5 days here on Halloween.
Yeah.
And these politicians have special interests. That's exactly what they have.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But the state they're in, Johnny, I mean, it's reached hysteria. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's coming to a head. And your countrymen, your countrywomen, our countrymen and women over here, we're all understanding this slowly but surely. But that's why nobody listens to the mainstream media no more. It's the same thing every single day on every channel.
Yeah.
When you turn on the channel, it's the same thing in your side of the neck of the woods. It's the same thing in our neck of the woods.
You and report on something so menial, like what Starbucks was selling out of a coffee mug or whatever. That was insane. Why would you cover that when there's more important things to cover?
Yep.
Just to sidetrack people.
Yeah, smoke screen.
Mm-hmm. Insane.
Sorry, was you trying to...
Speaking of coming to a head, Graham, I was just alerting you to the time. If you wanted to give your final thoughts for your theme for tonight.
Yeah, certainly. And then we can just segue into the round table. Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, we kind of covered it tonight quite well, I think. We are, dealing with a Molech occultists who are running a very successful child trafficking operation, very successful as far as they're concerned, but it's being exposed. It's been exposed right, left, and center. They are they're basically using children like a commodity, like cattle, and they're being sold for occultic reasons, really disgusting and sad occultic reasons, but also organ harvesting reasons as well. That's what they're about. And that's why they're going so hysterical, particularly in the left in America, because they've been exposed. And Trump is against them. And the amount of pedophiles that's been arrested, it's never been reported in the mainstream media, because the mainstream media is run by the very same people who are going hysterical about the fact that they're not getting their endless wars. So, yeah, that's my final thoughts in the matter. Anyway, we're going to wait a segue into the round table. We can continue this in the round table after my show, but I need to sign off, and we need to have basically have a little break before going into the round table. So I'm going to sign off, and we can meet you on the other side. So this is Graham Sutherland signing off, and I'll be back next week at the same time. And if you want to call in or whatever, you're welcome to with the round table. So good night and God bless.
Ero anna shek ars tu agen tan halon ma vruater kam yoma kendan chire furen atar mi fua Oh, Valen, Lord, no. Italian Striche Hamas Wine Acciunde Yes Acciunde Esquia Negri Tu Cavus Caunus